Atlanta, a city which we loved, a city which we knew, and we had customers, and we had flat church blood there, that even in our struggles, if we had struggled there, they would have been there to bail us out as well. Because these are people who loved us. At the same time, being a Christian and the leader of my family, I really felt it in my heart, and I got to ask questions deep down in my heart to say, does God really love me? I struggled much with this question. I felt abandoned, and sleep was a luxury at this time. Sleep couldn't come because it was a hard time. You see, sometimes when we read the book of Job and what he went through, we don't really get to understand what troubles and problems are until we go through such. We didn't even go through a fraction of what Job went through, but it was just little, but we felt really hurt. We kept praying and seeking God, and through this situation, after some time of struggle, God still
came for us and he rescued us. Despite our doubts, God still came through for us, and we didn't stop his plan for our lives because we doubted him. Rather, I doubted him because I saw my wife's faith being lifted so much, but God still came through. God allows us to have many good times in this life, but because pain is painful to us, we end up remembering much of the painful moments than the good moments that God end up giving to us. We feel like God has left us. It's hard to still trust God when you are failing to see his promises right active in our lives. But does this mean that God's word has stopped being true? No, it doesn't. Let us look at what God says in Romans 8, verse 28 to 39. Romans 8, verse 28 to 39. It reads, "And we know that God causes all things to work together for the good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And these whom he predestined, he also called. And these whom he called, he also justified. And these whom he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Who will bring charges against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died, but rather was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Would tribulation, or trouble, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? Just as it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We were regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord." Amen. Today I would like to share with you two truths that gives us the confidence that we are greatly loved by God. Truths that can never change, and that we find in these verses, that is verse 28 up to 39, that we have read today, which help us as Christians to have a unique way of processing life. First, it is in the being of God, and that is who God is, and what we know about him, and the confidence we have in him. And secondly, the extent of his love for us, how far that he is willing to go just for our sake. The title of my sermon today is, "Am I Really Loved?" being one of the questions that we ask as Christians. We don't want to ask it out loud, but we do ask these questions. Am I really loved? Does God really love me? Yet, this is another struggle that we have as Christians. But in today's reading, Paul starts with the verse 28, with the word, "and we know." How do we know? Because the Bible tells us so. We know that God loves us because the Bible tells us so. And we know with surety that in all that God says, of which we may not see it, we may not feel it, we may not touch it, but, or maybe we may feel stuck in a situation that we are in, not feeling God's presence and feeling rejected by Him. One of my good friends from our growth group shared over time in his life a season whereby he had just lost a job, and he decided that, okay, I will get any other job as long as it is a job. And he was going down the road to look for a job somewhere when he came to a stream where he stopped. As he was looking at the water in the stream on the bridge, he noticed that the water looked stagnant. He kept on looking at this water, and then he noticed that in the water there were some tadpoles moving around in there, meaning there was life in the water. As he changed his focus to look at this other side of the bridge, he saw that the water was still flowing, but it was flowing slowly. His thought was, this river is dead, this stream is dead, but life was still happening, and the water was still flowing slowly. He was instantly convicted of how God still works even in us. We may not see it happening as we always wanted to happen, but God is still working behind the scene. Just like I shared in the story about our lives when we moved to this place, even though after continuously praying, as a person, I wanted to see things happening in a certain way, things moving in a certain way. My focus was on how big our problems were, forgetting how big God is and what God was doing in that season of our life. God has a definite plan, which he still carries out, even with my doubts. I didn't stop his plan. God still came through for us. God changed our story. And God still changed my brother's story, who I've just shared about what he saw in this time. God has a definite plan, and he will still carry it out. Let us read Luke 12, verse 6 and 7, and hear what the scripture says. It says, "If God cares about the sparrows, and if he knows the numbers of the hair on your head, what more about you? If so, then how do we know or have this confidence that God is working out all things, and also have the confidence in what he says? If God takes care of each sparrow, and he knows each sparrow, and he knows the number of hairs in your head, what more us? Are we not worth more than sparrows? We have the confidence because of who God is, as I shared, because God is infinite. He is self-existing. He is without origin, as it is said in Colossians chapter 1, verse 17, that he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. We know with confidence that nothing happens in this world and to us without God's knowledge. God knows what is happening to us. God was there before the eternity, and he had us in his mind way before time began. With this truth, we can know that definitely God really loves us. And God never changes, just as it is written in Malachi 3, verse 6, which reads, "I, the Lord, do not change. So you, the descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed." And in Hebrews 13, verse 8, where Jesus Christ says he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God never changes. He is the same from before the beginning of time. His character never gets worse or never gets better. He's still God. He's just the same. God is all-powerful, as it is said in Ephesians 3, verse 20. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly, beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. God is not just able to do, but he's able to do far more. And not just far more, but also abundantly. And going beyond all that we can ask or think, even our minds are too small to comprehend what God can do for us. God is all-knowing. Isaiah 40 verse 9 and 10 says it better to say, remember the former things, those of long ago. I am God and there is none like me. I make known the end from the beginning. From ancient times, what is still to come, I say my purpose will still stand. And I will do that I please. God is not taken by surprise over our current situation in life. He knows what we are going through and what pleases him, which is for the eternal glory will still come to pass. God is always everywhere with us. God is always there for us, even in our times of trouble. His presence is there, is right there with us. Psalms 139, verse 7 to 10 says, where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there, you are there. Your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. God is always holding us by the hand, even in our troubles, celebrating with us even in our happy moments. And God is faithful. He never forgets anything that he said to us. He never fails to do anything that he set out to do even. He never changes his mind or takes back the promises that he has given us. We can trust in God, and we know that therefore, that the Lord your God, he is faithful, keeping his covenant of love to thousands of generations, to those who love him and keep his commandments. Another attribute of God is that God himself is love. God unchangingly loves us as his children through Christ, who lovingly sacrificed himself just for us, and he chose to die for us just to redeem us from our sins. 1 John 4, verse 7 to 8 says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. We as Christians love because God is love. God has shown us love and mercy. We love because he first loved us. 1 John 4, verse 19 says, we give because God gave us first. He gave us his only son to die for us. What a love. All that he does and lives for is love, because God is love. Even his judgment and wrath are perfectly harmonized with love, no matter what the situation we are in. God is love and he is unchanging. And that fact can never change. I love how John MacArthur puts it, to say, someone may profess to be a Christian, but only those who display love like their heavenly Father actually possesses his divine nature and are truly born again. The judgment of sin on the cross was the biggest example of God's love, for he poured out his wrath on his beloved Son in place of sinners. How big is that? For God to give up his only begotten Son just for us as sinners to be redeemed. We'll read another verse. That is 1 John 4, verse 15 to 21, which says, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God remains in him, and he in God. We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who remains in love remains in God, and God remains in him. By this, love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. Because as he is, we also are in the world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God, and yet hates his brother and sister, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother and sister, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And the commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God must also love his brother and sister. Yes, God is love, and we are also called to show his love to others who are born of who we are, to show who we are born of, and that we are born of God. We are the ones to extend God's love to people, and people believe in God's love through us, even people who we agree or don't agree with in our ideologies. We usually talk about this in our growth group. Pastor Harry talked about joining a growth group, you know, if you're not in one. I love to refer to our growth group because this is the place where I feel loved, and this is the place that I am known. So we love to talk about it at our growth group to say, what was your first experience at Flood Church? And many people get to give testimonial to say, I remained at Flood Church because I felt love. The way people welcomed me, I felt loved. Because of the way so-and-so welcomed me, I felt loved and I decided to remain here at Flood Church. And which is also an invitation to everyone in here to say, let us make somebody feel welcomed here at Flood Church. Let us be the ones showing God's love to people by welcoming them well. Last Monday, which is a good day for most people who do business, me and my wife decided to go out to town to buy some things. And on this day, as we drove out and were in our best work suits as carpenters, as we were driving down on a queue, we heard a loud bang at the back of our car. So I was surprised, like, what has happened? When I looked back, I saw that it was a big car that had hit us. It was a big car, a Toyota Fortuner with a good bull bar, and then it had hit us from behind. I went out of the car to see what had happened. And this man who was coming from the other car who had hit us kept on apologizing right from his car to the place that I was looking at our car, what had happened. He kept on apologizing, and this was, from the way he looked, a rich kind of Indian person, probably from a different region that we are in as well, and he kept on apologizing. I ended up being the one to say, hey, brother, don't worry, this happens, accidents happen, and it's not you who is going to fix this, it's the insurance that is going to fix this problem. So people were standing on the sides to see, okay, what is going to come out of this situation, but we didn't spend a long time. I said, let's just go to the police, because we are close by Area 3 police. Let's just go to the police, and they'll sort this out. Don't worry about this. As we went to the police, this man told me of how he didn't have any cash on him. He was like, I don't have any cash on me, and I gave him my money, like 20,000 kwacha. He said, okay, I'll give you cash. You send it back to me through bank transfer or anything else, which he did. And he paid for the police charges, and everything was done. So as we talked outside the police, he was still surprised. Not surprised at the accident in itself, but he asked me to say, I've never seen anyone so calm like this during an accident. Why are you so calm like this during an accident? So if you have seen our car, we have a sticker on our car which says, God hears and God is able, yeah? So I told him, okay, as a Christian, I am always pointing at our sticker. I told him how, as a Christian, we are called to live in peace with people. So how can I be quarreling with you while I have that written on my car? Am I professing the God who is calling me to be at peace with people? I'm not. I have to be at peace with you as I'm called to be at peace with you. Who knows? Maybe that accident, God allowed it to happen so that I should speak to this person about Christianity and they should see a different perspective of Christianity. And maybe one day he will be here preaching to you because of the seed that God planted in that moment. Please note that the accident was not good, but God allowed that situation for me to speak to this person and for him to see a different perspective of Christianity. Remember, we are talking about two truths that gives us the confidence that we are greatly loved by God. And here, secondary is by the extent or the degree that God will go just to take care of you, his loved ones, and this is by him giving up his son, who he loves so much for the sake of us. God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love God. There are many things that happen in this world. As I've said, the accident, it's not a good thing. There are many things that happen, like famine, which is not good, war, which is not good. There is abuse in this world, which is not good. But yes, these are things that happen, and these are things that happen to us all, even as Christians. When such things happen, does it mean God is no longer in control? God is still in control. His character never changes. He's not surprised. And when he says all things, he means all things. He takes care of all things that happen in us. All things working together for good does not equal my expected outcome. I expect differently, but God expects different as well. After we went through the tough time that I shared with my family, yes, we were Christians by then, but our Christianity grew. We now understand God more. We now understand other people more when they go through such situations as we went through as well. We grew through our struggles. It was like pruning, which is a tough and painful process, but it always brings out the best in us people. And we now that understand people's situation when they share with us if they go through such. All things working together for good is the bigger picture, and it's not the narrow view. He works them out so that we are daily being changed to conform to the image of his son, Jesus. Verse 17 of Romans 8 says, if we suffer in Christ, with Christ, we may also be glorified together with him. All things working together for good, that's because God himself is good. A friend of mine shared from our growth group as well to say how every process of planting is good for the plant. He shared how a plant gets to be buried, it gets to be watered, and sometimes it gets to be pruned, as I said, so that it bears more fruit. And the greater story is in the bumper and perfect harvest of the plant. And all that it went through, different seasons and treatments. The greater story is in the bumper harvest. The good that happens is based on the goodness of God, who knows what's best for us, and he's working all things for our own good. All things work together is a great promise to the believers about God, who cares for his people, who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. All things equals God's intended purpose, and that's the great harvest. God's intended purpose is the great harvest at the end of the day, and cultivation of righteousness in us. You may be here wondering how you can partake in this great promise for believers. How can I be in God's plan? Because I'm not yet a believer. I've just come here to spend the few hours here at church. The call is free, and to anyone who doesn't harden his heart, but accepts Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, for they will be grafted into the family of God. It's not too late to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior. You can give your life to Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, and you will be part of this greater plan of God. I'll pray with you today, and then there will also be prayer counselors around the church if you would like to be part of this greater plan that God has for us. Let us pray as we give our lives to Jesus Christ, and we accept God's plan in our lives as it is. Let us pray. Our Lord, in Jesus' name, we praise you. We glorify your name, Lord. Thank you for this time that you have set up for us, Lord, just to hear your word and to be encouraged, Lord. Lord, we have seen how much you have said that you love us, Lord. May you help us not to harden our hearts for the love that you have for us. May you forgive us our sins, O Lord. May you forgive us in our doubts, Lord. And may you keep on growing our inner man, Lord, reminding us, Lord, that you're always there for us, Lord. Forgive us when we doubt. Help us and lead us, Lord. Guide us, O Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, I pray may you continue to put us in your plan. And may you continue to change our thinking, O Lord. And know that all that that's happened to us, Lord, is for your glory, O Lord. May your perfect plan, Lord, take lead, O Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, I pray. Amen.
If I may ask you to just rise and join us in worship God one more time. So good.
read again Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And it says, "And we know that God causes all things to work together for the good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. May we go and live according to God's purpose. May we go and live with this truth that all things are working together for our good. May we go in peace." Amen.